Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm really happy to be talking today to Marco De Ramo. Marco De Ramo is from Rome, Italy. He works with Il Manifesto, and actually he's come here to the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, to interview people, and that's how we met, and I'm really happy to interview him. He tells me he used to be a physicist and is now a writer and has been working at Il Manifesto for some time as a senior person there. I understand Il Manifesto is, and I'm sure my accent is horrible here, but is the left-wing paper of what, all of Italy?
Yeah, first of all, it is a national daily newspaper. It's not a local one. Second, it's a daily newspaper. You know, in the United States, the left movement don't have any daily newspaper. It's a very difficult enterprise to publish a daily newspaper. It demands a lot of money, a lot of organization, and a lot of sacrifice from people who work in it.
Meaning that you don't get paid much.
Now, we are all self-exploiting in a certain sense. Sometimes, some months, we don't get, because we are the owner of our newspapers. So when we don't get money, we don't get money. So we don't get paid for months and months sometimes. And we have a lot of debt with banks, and we have always to fight to survive. But now we are lasting from 32 years, so it's a lot of time, and we have become quite an institution in the cultural institutional world, Italian world. Also, you know, there were other important left-wing newspapers in Europe. I think to Libération in France or to the Tageszeitung in Germany. But Tageszeitung is quite a leftist newspaper, but Libération is no more a leftist newspaper. So, and in Italy we had the big newspaper of the Communist Party, but the name was the Unità, Unity, but there is no more Communist Party, and so there is no more this newspaper. So we are left, we are an extinguishing spaces in the world, so we would like to be protected against extinction.
Yeah, really, it's really important, because the media is so crucial in giving or withholding information and the way it's presented. And, of course, you know that at least as well as I do.
But yes, you know, we when I speak to young people, 18 years, 15 years, 20 years old, they think that information is a right. They have not to conquer it. They think that it's something which is given to them. It's like the air they breathe. But it is not true. The information is not for free. As freedom is not for free, in the same way information is not for free. If you don't strike for it, if you don't struggle for it, you lose you lose in a progressive way the information, and you get uninformed. Before the Vietnam War, American people was uninformed, protest. The people was uninformed about the war. They were told a lot of lies. So it is only because people wanted to be informed, asked to be informed, struggled to be informed, that they got information. Then the years and the 10 of years passed, and now it seems to me that we are again in the same situation, that the government, the rulers, the ruling class, the business want to get the information hidden from us.
Yeah, really. That's for sure. And, well, I guess you at Il Manifesto cannot be called the corporate media, since you're worker-owned, that's what you're saying.
I'm saying that the corporate media give always the same message, you know, and you can't expect anything else from them. You have to it has to be another voice to be listened in the world.
Not controlled by money.
Not controlled by money, not controlled by political interests, dominant political interests. If you are the weak one of the people, who gives you voice to speak to protest? That's you have the alternative media are very important for that. You understand?
What's the circulation of your newspaper, Il Manifesto, the daily? Worker-owned newspaper.
You have to do an average, because right. when the you have the attack, you on the Twin Towers on 11 September, you have 200,000 copies. Usually you have about 80,000 copies, 100,000 copies, no more. But our problem is not the circulation. The circulation is enough. Our problem is that we don't get advertising from the enterprise and from the business. Usually, advertising is half of the revenue, of more than half of the revenue of a newspaper. So if you get 100, usually only 40% comes from the audience. The other 60% comes from the advertising. In our case, it is only 20-25%. So that means we have 40% yet still to get.
So you are really independent, it seems, I would think. Being worker-owned and hardly having any advertising seems you really qualify for being part of the independent media happening in the world.
I will be happy with some more advertising, so I will get some wage sometime more regularly in my life. But I don't think that if you have 20-40% of advertising, you are what I think is that you need to reach the critical mass. If you are enough important to get the critical mass, it's you that has an influence on the advertiser, and it's not the advertiser which has an influence on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to talk to you, Marco De Ramo, about the anti-globalization, anti-corporate globalization movement, because I know you've come here to the United States now to interview people about their reaction to the war, and you've explained to me that you were in Philadelphia during the Republican convention, in Los Angeles during the Democratic convention in the United States, and of course, very recently there was were really big demonstrations in Genoa in Italy, where the indie media, which I work with as well as I work with this independent radio station that you're hearing this over. Either on the internet, or I don't know how people are hearing, because I work with a lot of different independent media outlets. So, but however you're hearing this, it's through independent media. And I know that, so you've seen a lot firsthand, and you are part of this this movement for independent media. And I would like to know something from your point of view as an Italian journalist, independent journalist, and particularly about, I know in Genoa, the demonstrations, what was that, about 3 months ago? I can't remember
in June.
I can't remember.
No, I'm sorry. Beginning of July. Uh-huh. Beginning of July. But the time runs so quickly.
And I know that the indie media was particularly targeted by the police. The police were very violent. Yeah, and they were trained by the L.A. police, I understand. So anyway, I'm talking a lot. I would like you to comment on what you think, what's going on, you know, in terms of Italy.
Everything. After Genoa, I think the anti-globalization movement, Genoa was a big victory for the anti-globalization movement. It's true there was a big police violence and so on, but in a certain sense, the anti-globalization movement got incredible results. First of all, after that, they decided that the G8 summit will never again be held in a great city. So you imposed to the rulers of our world to hid themselves. Mm-hmm. They decided to hold that the next summit will be in somewhere in the downtown nowhere in Manitoba in Canada. So in the prairie. So that was the first. Second, in this case, you created a world public opinion against the police brutality. Third, the event of the demonstration was far more important than the decision of the government in this summit. Nobody knows what was decided in this summit. So there are three reasons to say that it was a great result. That's after Genoa. But after Genoa, we had the September 11 attack. Now the situation is completely different because the government now are saying that anti-globalization movement is the same thing as the terrorist attack. They are saying that we are the same stuff, that we are all anti-globalization. Or I would like to say that that is not true, because in a certain sense we, the movement, are a global movement against globalization. In the case of the terrorism, they are a local movement using the global instrument for local purposes. Mm-hmm. It's very different. They are not trying to change South America. They are not trying to change the situation in Africa. They are not trying to change the situation in Russia. They are not trying to stop the drilling in Alaska. They are trying to resolve, in a bad way, in a terroristic way, their situation in the Islamic world, their problems within the Islamic world and with Israel. But it's a regional problem. Mm-hmm. So they use a global technique, they use global tools in order to pursue specific items and goals. Our movement is completely different. It is a coalition of local goals, of local movement, in order to get a global change. Mm-hmm. At the end of the story, you know, I think that probably the terrorist attack will be a big weapon for people who want, for the ruler of this world. They will we will lose information, we will lose freedom, there will be restrictive in laws, there is still now Senate is approving an anti-terrorist act in which people can be detained for 7 days without any reason, 7 days in jail without any reason. It's not so fun.
I'd like also some reflections about what's going on in Italy and in Europe around both of the corporate globalization and the reactions to September 11th, if you would talk about that.
The reaction to September 11th was very, very mixed because the people were shocked. Were shocked that the images of the World Trade Center sinking and falling down. But we had many radio talk shows and people called by telephone, and the majority of intervention eventually said that for the first time, it was the first time that America understood that foreign politics has a price, that it's not for free, that you cannot act on other people and exert power and the domination on the rest of the world. So it's a terrible and a horrible to the United States that the politics is necessary and you can't avoid it. It's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. That is the real problem. Mm-hmm. That now you have to begin to do politics abroad.
So is Italy part of supporting the United States? I know England, Britain is coming up very strongly and is being very active and attacking Afghanistan. And I want to say, so do you assume, it sounds like you assume that we know that it's people from the Islamic world that did the attack on the World Trade Center in New York?
You know, I don't know if it doesn't matter now because they did. So They claim responsibility from it. They claim in their eyes they claim the honor of it. So you have to assume it. Mm-hmm. Italy as Germany as Great Britain has signed an alliance with the United States. NATO is a NATO member. Mm-hmm. So there is an Article 5 in the NATO Constitution says that when one of the members is attacked, all the other has to intervene to defend. Mm-hmm. This one against the attack. And also you have to remember that in Italy we have, I don't know how many, but tens and tens of thousands of American soldiers. We have Neapolis is the basis of the 7th Fleet, American Fleet in the Mediterranean. An island near Sardinia is the basis for nuclear American submarines. There are many Air Force bases of NATO and the United States in northern Italy, from where all the Bosnia attacks were launched. So, in a certain sense, we when we joke, we say that we are the real American aircraft navy in the Mediterranean, because we have a lot of American military in Italy, and Germany is in the same situation. So you couldn't expect that in this situation you say no, I will stay apart. Mm-hmm. You have to be at the side of your ruling power.
And what about the Italian military?
Oh, the Italian military. Maybe it exists in the sense there are 200,000 or 300,000 soldiers armed with American weaponry and with American airplanes of the not of the newest generation. And so we are a good support force for some intervention and so on. We are good for going in Somalia, which was our ancient colonial an ancient colony. We are good for going in Albania, which was an ancient Italian colony, but we are not really good to go in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. Well, but back to this issue of the anti-corporate globalization movement, Marco De Ramo, from Il Manifesto newspaper in Italy. I got these reports, as I said in the beginning, that the very violent acting Italian police were trained by the Los Angeles police, and also that when after these people from the indie media were beaten, and I understand they're not the only people beaten, there were many people beaten, and you might want to comment on how that affected European journalists, I think different than American, but anyway, not to get too off the subject, that when those people were from the indie media, after they were beaten and they were taken off to prison, that they were forced to strip, say whatever the police told them to say, like we love racism or something like that, exactly the opposite of what they thought. And also that there were pictures on the wall at the prison in Genoa of Mussolini and also pornographic pictures. So that was pretty alarming.
Yeah, you know, in Italy, Genoa happened just 2 months after general elections, in which the left-wing government, former government, was defeated, and in which the right-wing government, actual current government, won the elections. So it was a new government, right-wing government, who controlled, who managed the Genoa summit. The Genoa summit had been prepared by the former government, the leftist government, but the new government, which is really right-wing and really right-wing in this government, in this coalition, there is a party who is the heir, the direct heir of a Mussolini party.
The president, prime minister, is a direct heir of.
It is a coalition of two parties. The president is just a tycoon, is the richest man in Italy. He's the owner of three TV channels, and he's a robber baron in a certain sense. He's a classical robber baron who happened to become the leader of an industrial nation. But you have not to forget that Italy now has the same gross product as France or as Great Britain has. So powerful political state, but is a very big economical power in Europe. It's at the same level of France or Great Britain on economics. On the political level, France and Great Britain are far more powerful. But this right-wing government was very, very fearful for this Genoa summit. So the days before the summit, they made some very crazy thing. They built a wall around the neighbor of the summit, but a real iron wall, 15 feet high, with razor blades and with and so on. So and in a certain sense, they needed some violence in order to demonstrate that all these measures were not a crazy fantasy of a right-wing government. So what it happened is that at the beginning, they let the most violent demonstration act in a very disturbing way.
Oh, there was also evidence. This was, by the way, the summit was the G8, the countries that rule the world, basically. And I also understand that there were a lot of agents provocateurs. It seemed that it was very clear that the most violent people were working with the police.
In part, yes, but you have not to overestimate the police. The police, they began letting the most violent elements act, but eventually they were unable to stop them. So at the beginning they let free way, but at the end they couldn't stop them, and so they were very angry because they were unable to stop them, and so that's why at the end when everything
couldn't stop the demonstrators.
No, they could. They let their hands free, and they couldn't stop them. And so that's why they began to be very brutal. And so when they were very brutal, also because of this right-wing government. Police has always been a little bit fascist in Italy. But now with this new government, they feel themselves legitimate to be so.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so if we're just about out of time. But if you could say something more about the reaction of journalists in Europe, since we don't hear too much about that, to this, to what went on in Genoa, and even to what's going on now? Or is that too general a question to answer real quick?
There are two different... In about what happened in Genoa, the general reaction of the European newspaper was very good, in the sense that even The Economist, such conservative newspapers as The Economist or The Financial Times or Die Welt, were very critical against the Italian government. Le Monde attacked the Italian government, the French the newspaper of Le Monde attacked the Italian government in a very rude way. The Italian press was also very critical. There were some pro-government newspapers who were more indulgent and the other who were more critical. But in the press hold on in this situation had a good position. Now it's different. Now the newspaper are all the Italian newspaper are the most war side newspapers in the world. First of all, because our Prime Minister Berlusconi, the TV tycoon, the Robert Baron, told in a news conference that it is not a fight against terrorism, it's a fight of civilization, Christian civilization against Islamic civilization. This is crazy because you are calling for terrorism at home, at the best. And the worst, you are racist and so on, because there is no superior civilization and not inferior civilization. But... and the Italian newspaper have been very bad, and they are impatient. Why Bush doesn't attack yet? Tomorrow they will attack with the ground forces. They have not attacked. It will be after tomorrow. But they have not yet started. But what are we waiting for? So they are very impatient. The patience of the Italian media is running short. They are very impatient for war. Some other newspaper, generally speaking, also the other European newspapers are much less critical on this issue than they were on the G8 issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's a million other things we could keep on talking about, but I think that is about it for our time. I want to thank you very much, Marco De Ramo, who is a journalist, a senior member of Il Manifesto, which comes out of Rome, a daily newspaper in Italy. And you say that you've written a book about Chicago, and it's going to be translated into English, and we should look for it. And the name is The Pig in the Skyscraper.
Yes, it has been translated. It will be in the bookstores in November, and it is published by the publishing house Verso, and it will be published with a foreword by Mike Davis.
Okay, so I'm sure that'll be interesting. I'm certainly going to look for it. So thanks again, Marco De Ramo.
Thank you.
My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.